TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and scorenorth.com.
I'm going to throw another name at you, Wilds, who probably, you know, seems more Patriot-esque as far as their history with skill position guys. I wonder if Adam Thielen's available. That team stinks. They need draft picks.
AJ Green.
He's on a very reasonable contract. AJ Green, I worry about the injuries, but you don't care about Thielen. You just, Wilds, you just want Odell.
You're like, that was Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1, just wildly speculating on Adam Thielen. But you know what? Now that the Vikings have traded Yannick Ngakoue, I don't know. If you're a veteran player and you want to go win a Super Bowl somewhere in the next couple of years, you might want to put a phone call into Rick Spielman. I don't know that Adam Thielen's on that list, but we will throw out some other trades the Vikings should explore and some players, one in particular that's being rumored, that they could maybe look to acquire. And we'll bring our friend from Pro Football Focus, Eric Eager, into the show. But Declan, when the Vikings start firing up the trade treadmill, we start firing up the Corona Hard Seltzers, baby. Get your popcorn and seltzers ready.
I think our boy Nick Wright had a couple Corona Hard Seltzers for delivering that Adam Thielen take on First Things First. I mean, my goodness.
Thielen's the most Patriots player ever, though.
He is, but he's the most Patriots player ever. He's also employed by the most Vikings player ever in that he's from here. And did you guys know he's from here, by the way? I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, he is from here.
He went to Mankato State. Here? Yeah, Purple Cows. Go Mavs. But I don't know what happens in Mankato. I don't know what happens with Nick Wright, but I do know that Corona Hard Seltzer is the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes, with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer spike sparkling water with natural flavors, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
Hey, you held him to 20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?
They need to trade Kirk Cousins and start over.
Who would take Kirk at this salary? Who would take Kirk Cousins at a guaranteed rate of this? Nobody. Who would say, I'll take Kirk Cousins at $30 million guaranteed per? I don't think they're going to wind up with one win either. The team that almost won in Seattle, for some reason, just pooped the bed against Atlanta. I don't know what it is. They're inconsistent. They're on a bye, right? Minnesota's on a bye. And then they come back at Green Bay. And they could lose the season series from them. And then that's a big, huge problem. But I still think that there's winnable games for them the rest of the way here.
All right, Rich Eisen with his optimistic spin on the Viking season to this point.
That's not a problem at all.
No,
Go, Pack, go.
Yeah, I think rooting for short-term loss for long-term gain is the path to be on here. And this is Purple Daily. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff producing. And joining us for this episode, our friend Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. And Eric, it's funny, you know, we're putting together show plans today. And, you know, what can we get into? We definitely want to dive into, you know, players the Vikings should look to trade. And as we're about to fire up some episodes, boom, Yannick Ngakoue gets dealt for a third-round pick and a conditional fifth to the Baltimore Ravens. So let's start with one quick thing on that, and then there's Danielle Hunter news, and then we'll talk about potential trades the Vikings should explore. So for you guys, Rick Spielman jumped on a Zoom call with local media right after the trade was announced, and he did confirm when they made the trade with the Jaguars for a second-round pick and a conditional fifth, they did think that Danielle Hunter was going to play this season. So the initial vision was for those guys to be bookend edge rushers, get after quarterbacks, and make life a little easier on those rookie cornerbacks. And after they acquired Ngakoue, they start to feel the ramifications of the tweaked neck being more than just a tweaked neck. And so I don't know if that makes it any easier to swallow for Vikings fans, but that's how they go from a second-round pick to a third-round pick in a roundabout way.
Doesn't that make it worse, though? Because Hunter's one of the most underpaid superstars in the NFL. There's a small chance that Ngakoue emerges as the Vikings' best edge player this year, but there's almost a 100% chance that on the open market he's going to make more than Hunter, which would trigger an extension for Hunter that makes Hunter the highest paid player in the league and on a team that's sort of up against it, right? Having to make a lot of tough decisions, you know, almost cutting their left tackle in the preseason because, you know, they're having a difficult time affording things. Like, that doesn't reassure me at all. That means that they're even further away from understanding what this all is than we are. Like, you know, we were perplexed. You know, trading Diggs made sense until they extended Kirk, right? Letting long-standing stalwarts like Rhodes and Joseph and all those guys go makes sense until you franchise tag Anthony Harris. Like, none of these things make a ton of sense, and I feel like this was the best move the Vikings have made in a long time. It just self-owns, like, all of the things that they've been doing for the past 6 months.
So let's talk about what I like to call, Eric, acceptance of your fate, okay? Because the people who run the Vikings have a real problem at times accepting their destiny.
Yes.
They fight it. They basically say, you know, Mike or Rick says no, or the Wilf say no, we can win now. It's like, hey, can you really? I don't think so. What today's trade, the thing that you said, and I agree with completely, is today's trade signifies to me the start of accepting your fate. And the only problem that I still have, or the biggest one, is this. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that I can get my head around the Kirk extension in March. Not the original contract, to be clear, okay? Two very different things. One was shooting your shot. One was making a bad situation worse. The only thing I can't get past, if I'm the Wilfs, is the Kirk contract extension, because it still puts you in this purgatory two salary cap hell for quite some time with a quarterback who I don't care if you're you and you crunch the statistics and you come and tell me, Judd, here is X, Y, and Z definitively, or if it's me talking to you and I say, I haven't crunched a number this year, but you know what? The eye test tells me he's awful. That's the one thing I can't get past, and that's the one thing that I don't know how it can be justified. And that's where, if Rick's job ultimately is in trouble, I can see why the people that trust Rick say, what was going on there? Like, just to get some more salary cap room, really?
It felt like a couple that was on, like, you know, on marriage strife for, you know, 3 or 4 years, went on vacation. The New Orleans game was, they go on vacation and then they get pregnant, right? Just to try to salvage the relationship. that was the Kirk Cousins extension. And I'm just like, and now you're stuck. You know, you have this long-term commitment to the guy.
What should we name him, honey?
Getting out of it.
What should we name him, honey? I don't care. Here's your paper.
Yeah. I never wanted this quarterback anyway. You take care of him. You change his diaper.
Because there's so much. Perfect. There was so many things about Kirk that made, like you said, Judd, like, how much different are the Vikings' straits this year if he's a lame duck quarterback? Like, there's no rule saying that you have to extend this guy, especially given the fact that, like, and I know nose tackle is more important in a Zimmer defense, but, like, you extended him so you could sign Michael Pierce, a guy that's never played 500 snaps in a year. Like, you know, all of these things, it's just like, they're trying to salvage something. And I said this to somebody, it came off as mean. I didn't mean to be mean, but it's like, you have to understand what the Vikings are. The Vikings are a team that contends for a Super Bowl once every 10 years. And they had their shot in 2017. And it's the same thing, Judd, like, you know, the 2010 year, right? Like, you covered that team. It was the same stuff. It, you know, something every single day. And what did they do? They went 3-3 down the stretch. And they tried to recreate the magic with Leslie Frazier the following year. And it was a nightmare, right? Like, it just didn't make – like, accepting who you are is part of the issue. And the Vikings are a team that competes once every 10 years. And that just happened. So, like, yeah. Buckle up. Settle in. This is, like – this is a rebuild situation. And no one is willing to come to grips with that. Vikings fans first in the offseason. But now even their own team is finally starting to round into shape there.
But you know what? Here's the thing, Eric. And you know this. You don't have to just compete once every 10 years. You're competing once every 10 years because you're trying to build everything else except the quarterback. Like, you're
right.
You've sort of, outside of Brett Favre in 2009, and I get they took a shot with Ponder as a first-round pick. That was a bust, and they got unlucky with Teddy maybe. But they have, either by their own choice or by bad luck through, like, Teddy Bridgewater, they have sort of been meh at the quarterback position, average to below average, and they're trying to make up for the quarterback deficiencies by building a perfect roster around the quarterback. And it's like, it's funny because we sit here and we talk about how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback, and that's right. You want to know what's harder? Getting everything else perfect around the quarterback. So I just think, whether you fail or not in 2021's draft, drafting a quarterback is the right process, and that's the only thing that's going to get you to a point where you are competing more than once every 10 years. Maybe you're like Seattle. And if your offensive line sucks and your defense can't stop any opposing quarterbacks, you still win 11 games and can win a Super Bowl because you have Russell bleeping Wilson. So I just want to tell the Vikings, listen, you guys, Rick, Ziggy, Mark, you're tired. We're all tired. It's been a great run of good football. But if we all want a Super Bowl championship for the first time in Minnesota, you're going to have to take a step back in 2020, 2021 to take two steps forward. And from the fans to the front office to people with microphones like us, like, we all have to just sort of be accepting of it. And we're sitting here and we're not only accepting of it, we're saying gleefully go into a rebuild and find your franchise quarterback. It will be a great exercise and experiment for the franchise.
Well, 100%. And the thing is, like, I'm in my mid-30s. I've seen this team, like, for an entire decade, they took a different quarterback to the playoffs. McMahon, Moon, Brad Johnson, Randall Cunningham, Jeff George. And then, like, both times they really bought into a young quarterback, the guy tears his knee up, right? Like, it's a bad luck franchise, but it doesn't mean you start hitting on 17s, right? It just doesn't. Like, you still have to play basic strategy. And in the NFL currently, there's nothing that supersedes, you have two things. Elite quarterback on a rookie deal is clearly the nuts. And then an elite quarterback on a Mahomes deal is the second best thing. You have neither, and there's no way to getting to that other position unless you draft a quarterback. Like, the Titans are not giving you Ryan Tannehill, and you won't want him anyway because you don't have Arthur Smith. They're not, like, the Falcons aren't giving you Matt Ryan, and you don't want him anyway because he stinks if you have a bad coordinator. Like, the goal should be to get a young quarterback, put him into place, and then literally we've seen it with Kansas City. Nothing else matters. Kansas City is starting Mike Remmers at right tackle the other day. They're starting Mike Remmers.
He started a guard and moved to right tackle.
Good. Yeah, like, it doesn't matter. It sucks because, we Vikings fans are thinking, okay, we wanted this team to be relevant for years. I get that. Like, especially people that cover the team, they don't want this malaise for like 10 years. But the problem is, they're 1-5. They're terrible. And by playing it safe in many cases, in this one specifically, like, there was no worse year, I think, in following Minnesota as 2011, which was the exact thing. Like, at least they drafted Ponder, but they kind of went into it with, like, we're going to get a bunch of veterans. We're going to play these veterans. And it's like, what are you doing here? Like, you're not fooling anybody. And I think that that's really what this team is. And unfortunately, like, they're kind of stuck for a little bit.
Okay, so the answer to your question is this. What they're trying to do from a front office and coaching perspective, Eric, is they're trying to save their jobs because the Wilfs are fans. And the Wilfs say the right thing, which is, we want sustained success. What they don't understand is sometimes you have to stink to get there. And so basically, to your question, what happens is guys like Spielman and Frazier and Zimmer now, they basically think, if I can get these veteran guys and coach them up, or I can do this and we win, the Wilfs are going to be happy and I'm going to keep my job. That leads me to this question off of what's currently transpiring here. And I don't know how you jettison Kirk, if that's possible, or when that becomes possible. But where are we at as far as coaching in your mind, to your point about getting the right quarterback and that changes things? Because I think the one thing that you didn't say is, the quarterback can change things completely if it's a good young player, but the coach becomes incredibly important. And I don't think that Mike is the right guy to basically say, here's the keys to a brand new car. And Mike's like, but I can't drive this car. So where do you think this stands as far as a coaching decision if you do go in the direction we're talking about?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head, John. I mean, you look at the teams that have great offensive minds in the head coaching position are the long-term sustainable teams. I mean, the New England being the outlier, but their offensive coordinator has stayed the same. They got a lucky situation where their offensive coordinator was so bad as a head coach in Denver that he's added sustained success there. But you look at some of these teams, Atlanta had Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan and made the Super Bowl, and they let Kyle Shanahan go and stuck with the defensive-minded head coach. And we've seen it. Like, they've had, what, three offensive coordinators since then, and none of them have been able to recreate the magic that we saw with Kyle Shanahan. It's going to happen in Tennessee. Vrabel is doing a fine job as head coach. But when Arthur Smith goes and becomes the Falcons or the Houston Texans coach, Ryan Tannehill is not going to be worth that contract. I can just tell you that right now. So having a defensive-minded coach, this isn't saying – like, I think Zimmer is a really good defensive mind. I think he's generally speaking a decent leader of men. He's developed cornerbacks, I think, maybe not this year, but, like, in the past, he's done a pretty good job of that. But just the very nature of having a defensive-minded coach means that you have to cycle through coordinators on the regular, right? Kevin Stefanski has the Cleveland Browns 4-2 for the first time since Bill Belichick, basically. Like, he's gone because you're not willing to make the tough decision and hire him as the head coach. Pat Shermer had, you know, was amazing with Case Keenum at quarterback. He leaves, and you're shuffling through, and there's no continuity on the offensive side of the ball. And what ends up happening is you buy into defense, but we're seeing this all around the league. San Francisco made the Super Bowl based on defense. Well, you get a couple injuries, and they're no longer gods on that side of the ball. You know, same thing with Jacksonville. Jacksonville 3 years ago was the number one defense in the league, and now they're all gone, you know, and you can't – defensive-minded coaches, unfortunately, have a different objective function than the game of football itself does. The game of football itself is you score and you let defense kind of shake out, right? Kansas City did that last year. They improved incrementally on defense and win the Super Bowl. But what do they have as their table stakes? Great offense. Like, that's really how you win. And so it's not an indictment so much on Zimmer as a guy or as a coach. It's just the overall philosophy of having a defensive coach, which made sense in 2013 – when they had the worst defense in the NFL, but no longer makes sense in the modern NFL.
Eric, do you still have a few minutes to get into some reckless speculation with us here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So let's I'll have Judd lead the list of players that they should still consider trading. But let's start out with an interesting article yesterday from NFL.com. And it's not someone that you would look at and think like, oh, like reckless speculation guy. Let me click the
reckless speculation.
Let's start out with a guy that the Vikings could potentially trade for as we look at this sort of rebuild, retooling, all right? David Carr, NFL.com. Sam Darnold. The Vikings are in a world of hurt financially when it comes to their rapidly declining quarterback, Kirk Cousins. He signed a two-year, $66 million contract extension in March, but it seems highly unlikely that the team would part ways with him this offseason, given that doing so would result in $41 million in dead money counting against their salary cap. Might the Vikings trade for a quarterback with a high ceiling who's still playing on his rookie contract? They're going to have to do something because Cousins ain't getting it done, and backup Sean Mannion hardly seems like the answer. So Sam Darnold was dealt in his career so far, all right? He was the third overall pick. He was one of the most highly touted quarterback prospects in a number of years. And he was dealt defensive-minded lame duck head coach Todd Bowles for his rookie year. Then Bowles gets fired. And now he's stuck with Adam Gase. And this is no longer David Carr talking. This is Phil Mackey talking, okay? Yep. Adam Gase is one of the most fraudulent offensive coaches in recent NFL history. Adam Gase hung around with Peyton Manning at the water cooler once in a while in 2013. And he's been getting jobs ever since because of literally just like being in meetings with Peyton Manning. And so you could make a case that Sam Darnold, once extremely highly touted, you won't have to give up a first-round pick to get him, I would think, especially if the Jets are looking at Trevor Lawrence and going 1-15. Is there something to salvage there? Is there something that makes you think, okay, that guy could actually be a top-10 quarterback in the NFL and a franchise guy, and he's worth taking a flyer on?
Yeah, I mean, what about those things are not true about Jameis Winston?
That's a valid point.
You know, because Winston cost $1 million this year, or $3 million. I can't remember what it was, but like it's enough. The Vikings are up against it. You know, Darnold, you'd have to make a decision about his option, and like that's not trivial for the third pick. I don't hate the idea honestly, again, this is like the same thing as, you know, the Josh Freeman thing where if he flames out, who cares? Like at least you got to take a shot because you know what Kirk is, you know. Whereas Darnold, there it's the mystery box. It could be anything. So, like, I get it. I just wonder, like, you know, I've seen a lot more from Jameis, and I feel like he's cheaper. And we're currently getting that out of Kirk right now. He's leading the league in average depth of target. He's throwing a lot of interceptions. Like, why not, you know, at least, you know, come in with, you know, something a little cheaper, a little, you know, with, I think, a little bit more upside. I don't hate it. I mean, honestly, they should be taking a flyer on a lot of these young quarterbacks. I have no idea why you know, Zimmer has, you know, preferred the Sean Hills and the Matt Castles and the, you know, the Sean Mannions of the world as the backup quarterback. The only one, the only good decision he made was Keenum, and he almost cut the guy for Heinicke like back in the day. So it makes sense to have a young guy that you could go to, because there are some games where Kirk is not watchable, but I'd imagine Mannion would be even worse.
My cause for pause there is this. Who is going to be deciding on the QB position for the future and who's going to be coaching them? Like, I'm not going to bring in Darnold or Jameis now if I'm the Wilfs, and I know that Mike is a lame duck and Gary is too and Rick might be. So basically, I'm probably going to hit the pause button until I've decided if this year gets people fired. And if it does, then I go get the new GM. The one thing that I allow Rick to do with impunity is make all the trades for picks that he wants, because I don't care there. So if you trade guys, who cares? But as far as the actual bodies coming into my franchise, I'm going to pause that one until I know who's actually going to be in charge of the decisions. Which brings us to the trade reckless speculation.
Reckless speculation.
And Eric Eager, I'm not going to insult you or waste your time with cute little names like Harris Reef and Kyle Rudolph, because they all should be gone, okay?
Wait, real quick, what could you even get for the, like, if you had, like, Kyle Rudolph and Riley Reef together, you get a third round pick for?
I think that's high.
I think Riley Reef actually could net the Vikings a draft pick, like a, you know, third round pick or something, because you look around the league. And Dallas, I mean, Dallas is probably, you know, competing for the NFC East. McCarthy's probably, you know, desperate. I think Jerry Jones always has his, you know, he's always ready for something like that. And you look around the league, like, that's the one position I feel like that doesn't grow on trees. And even being average, like, the difference between a replacement level left tackle and an average one is way bigger than average to Tyron Smith. So if you can get Reef, you know, get a trade for him that allows you to play Ezra Cleveland at tackle, that allows you to do some things. Maybe, I mean, I don't know, a third round pick might be high, but a fourth round pick, it, you know, wouldn't be cheap, and it could help you accumulate some of the draft capital that you got rid of with Ngakoue.
And those three guys should be traded, no question. So I'm going to get to the sexy names, and I'm going to start with the native son, okay?
Reckless speculation.
He's 30 years old, and the story has been great, and my God, was he a fantastic find. Adam Thielen. Should the Vikings be actively shopping him right now in anticipation of trying to move him before the deadline on Election Day?
This is where that came from, by the way.
I'm going to throw another name at you, Wilds, who probably, you know, seems more Patriot-esque as far as their history with skill position guys. I wonder if Adam Thielen's available. That team stinks. They need draft picks.
AJ
He's
Green.
On a very reasonable contract. AJ Green, I worry about the injuries, but you don't care about Thielen. You just, Wilds, you just want to do it.
Nick Wright from Fox Sports.
That is, by the way, 13.5 million cap hit for 2021 that would disappear.
Yeah, pre-June 1, it's cheaper to keep him than to cut him. I mean, I think the New England – what's the New England history? Just that he's white at wide receiver?
Yes,
that's exactly
– 100%. I love the code words people use. Like, oh, he's a very New England-y guy. He's more of a New England guy than A.J. Green because of race? Like,
no, that's it.
I mean, okay.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously, if you can get a high pick, like, if they give a second for him, for sure, go for it. You know, last year, Mohamed Sanu got a second from the New England Patriots, which was an absolute fleecing by the Falcons. So if you can get a high pick like that, absolutely go for it. I mean, Thielen's still a good player, but it's clear now that Jefferson is going to be the man in Minnesota for some years. So, yeah, go for it. As long as you're committed to putting players around Jefferson in the future, I think that that's a pretty good one to go for. You know, even the thing is you can't cut him because post June 1, you're basically break even on cutting him, you know, next year. So the trade is the option if you ever want to get out from under him in the next, you know, little bit here.
I would be shocked if the Vikings elected to trade Adam Thielen. I just think I think there's definitely a case to be made that, man, if you can get a high draft pick and you're just going to go all in on getting younger and building for the next 2 or 3 years down the road, like, you can make the case, but he's such a Minnesota guy, and there's a marketing aspect to it. And actually, you could make a football case that does his skill set age for another 5 years? Is there sort of a, a Larry Fitzgerald quality of just having a veteran sage possession wide receiver in 5 years with a star in Justin Jefferson. So I hear what you guys are saying. I would be shocked if the Vikings themselves decided to trade Adam Thielen. All right, back to Purple Daily in just a moment, but a quick shout out to Federated. Federated is providing peace of mind and insurance for business owners in the state of Minnesota since 1904. If you want frontline protection, peace of mind, if you want expertise and someone standing right next to you side by side, either during a pandemic year or once we emerge from all of this, Federated is the place for you. Check out their website, federatedinsurance.com, for trusted resources, and their Twitter account, at FederatedINS, for fresh, relevant risk management content on a variety of topics. And make sure that you talk to your local marketing representative, too, about how Federated can help your business. Remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
I think it makes a lot more sense to trade somebody like Harrison Smith, which I talked about on you guys' airwaves in the early part of the year, because the thing with Harrison is that he's a great player individually, but defense, as we find out, takes a village, and you need to build that somehow, and having an elite player there, to me, loses its value substantially when there aren't 10 other good players around him.
What could Harrison Smith get you back at the deadline, do you think?
I don't, Jamal Adams got 2 first-round picks. I feel like, Smith is obviously a lot older, but he has some of those similar characteristics. A team like Baltimore, yeah, who's now stockpiling picks that you have a relationship with clearly. I mean, you gave him a 5th-round pick for a kicker. You can probably, get, a 3rd or 4th or some combination of those, which, again, I think Smith, we're seeing some decline, but he in a defense where there's a lot of other good players, I think he could be that half a win that he might get you in the second half of the year is worth a lot more, yep, when you're that half win gets you the bye than it does for Minnesota, which is going to take them from 3.5 wins to 4. So I think that's really you can convince a team that Harrison Smith is a difference maker, I think.
That's my phone call to the Ravens is actually, you guys, come on. We give you a 5th-round pick for a kicker that we cut out of training camp, for God's sakes. You owe us one. Give us a first.
Here's my question. Is Thielen more a Patriot? Or is Smith more a Baltimore player? Like, wow. Harrison Smith playing for the Ravens seems almost as perfect as Thielen as a Patriot.
Grow a beard out. Yeah.
And it's not because he's white. It's because the Ravens love safeties, man. And they love grizzled old safeties.
Yeah.
They love versatility. So last year, Chuck Clark and Earl Thomas both rushed the passer over 100 times. On blitzes, and that's Smith. I mean, he's just a player who, he can cover tight ends, he can cover slots, he can play deep in the deep middle part, he can blitz. And when you are a defense that has good component parts on the other side that can cover up for some of the things that Harrison's doing, that's a great defense. When you're a defense whose corners can't cover rudimentary routes, that's almost a liability to some degree. And so I think he makes a lot of sense there. I think San Francisco is another one where he can make sense. Some of these teams that, think that they're, I mean, even Seattle, frankly, they lost, I think Marquise Blair, they could move Quadri Diggs to nickel. Like, all these contenders could really use safeties, and safeties are bigger difference makers in the NFL than I think we're led to believe.
So I'm actually just on ProFootballFocus.com right now looking at, who are the good teams with crappy safeties? Is New Orleans? New Orleans is showing up on this list at the bottom for me. That could be another one.
And they've done a lot. So last year in December and January, they picked up both Janoris Jenkins and DJ Swearinger. So they clearly understand the value of depth in the secondary and have made – Eli Apple was a guy they traded for in the middle of 2 seasons ago. They have veteran depth in the secondary, and so they could welcome Smith. The issue with the Saints is they have no room under the cap.
Here's another one. All right. Oh, this is fun. This is great. You guys, this reckless speculation session here, inject this into my veins.
Reckless speculation.
So Honey Badger in Kansas City could use a cohort. Who's the other safety? And could you imagine Harrison Smith and the Honey Badger roaming around in the same secondary?
Yeah, they have Juan Thornhill, who's a 2nd-round pick out of Virginia Tech last year. And then they have Dirty Dan Sorensen, the
Okay.
The Mormon safety from BYU. You know, again, a Patriot for sure.
All right, that's fair.
Dirty Dan Sorensen.
All right, who else? Do we have anyone else on the who the Vikings should trade list?
No, just Reef, Harris, and Kyle. And those guys should be traded. I mean, that's not tough. Those trades aren't tough, right?
Well, I don't think so, as long as they're not holding out for a first or second round pick. I mean, this team is going to be rebuilt with third and fourth round picks, right? Yes. Like, it's not going to be, you know, this team, it was so much different. Like, people, and I don't know what you guys think about this, but I thought Zimmer was endowed with so much. You know, you had two first round picks in 2012, Khalil and Harrison Smith. You had three first round picks in 2013, Patterson, Floyd and Rhodes. You had two first round picks in 2014 with Bridgewater and Barr. And then 2015, you had Waynes. Like, you had a stockpile of high draft picks. And like the frustrating thing about the Frazier Vikings, where they were just a player or two away, right? They made the playoffs in 2012 and they lost Winfield. They lost a couple players and that team hit the fan. This is a different rebuild. They need to start. This is like 0-2 Mike Tice rebuild. Like, they don't have any players on that side of the ball. And I feel like if the Vikings are smart and settle for third and fourth round picks in these trades, that's the first step to rebuilding this roster.
What if you potentially tell Rick, you know what, Rick, go ahead, trade the vets for picks. You love to have picks. Now you got 15 again. Oh, goody. You blow Rick out and you allow the new GM. And this is the rebuild, baby. This is it. With all of that draft capital, to make a draft day trade or draft time trade,
okay, Kevin Costner,
with the Jets to get the top pick, and you're going to have to give up a ton here because you have convinced and know behind the scenes that Trevor Lawrence has told the Jets, I'm not playing for you. I'm coming out, and you can draft me, but you ain't going to get me, okay? The Elway deal. If you're the Vikings, I got to think it's a pretty, if it's done right, it's a pretty attractive place to come, but Eric, if you can answer that question, so like if you say, we drafted Trevor Lawrence, you have potentially answered a question that you have not answered since Tarkington for the next 8 to 10 years. So I love the idea of draft capital, not to use it to draft guys, but to, once Rick has been fired, have the new person make that pick. And now if you have your quarterback of the future, the whole dynamic can change fairly quickly.
Absolutely, and it's why, and I know the Bears are in a good position this year, but it's why a lot of their fan base was in such dire straits this offseason, because when they made that trade for Mac, right, like, quarterbacks are the only position where you're worth multiple wins a year, right? And so when you trade multiple picks for a player like Mac, it's a nice shiny trophy and he's a great football player. But ultimately, when your quarterback flames out, and you don't not only have the first round picks to draft another one, you don't have the ammunition to move up in the first round to take the actual one you want. That's a tough position to be in. And look, when you look at Kansas City, they saw Mahomes for years and they said, this is our guy. And even when his draft stock went up, they said, look, Buffalo, what do you want? And they go third round pick, first round pick, next year first round pick, to move up 17 spots. 17 spots is not trivial at all. The Titans did the same thing. They moved up, I believe, with to the second pick to get – or no, it was the Rams. When they moved up with the Titans that one year, the Titans were bad with Mariota, they went from 15 to 1, and took a ton of players. But I don't think the Rams are really regretting that right now, because you answer the best question. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, they took a what many would consider a negative EV – decision and traded all the way up to 2 to get Wentz. Well, it worked out pretty well for them. They won a Super Bowl, and Wentz is probably a franchise quarterback for them. Like, you answer that question, as you said, Judd, and everything else is kind of like window dressing at this point.
Yeah.
And that's the really big problem with Minnesota, is like, you know, the really smart teams, the Chiefs, you know, even, you know, the Eagles, like those teams concentrate all of the variance on one place. They make one bet, and that bet either goes bust or it doesn't. And the Vikings make a bunch of medium-sized bets that all have to work for them, yes, to win a Super Bowl. And the odds are just so far. You're in a 1-in-32 situation anyway. You might as well, you know, make a 1-in-32 bet once. And that's really like what the Vikings have failed to do for decades.
Amen, dude. Standing ovation for that, Eric. That's a great way to end Love it. We were gonna
what a breakdown.
We were bringing Eric on for like 15 minutes, and we wound up going 30 and recklessly speculating. So
these are the best.
Reckless speculation.
What's that?
Sorry, would you say it again?
These are the most fun years because it allows us to get back to first principles about the team.
Yep.
Bad does not mean boring. That's the thing to keep in mind.
Yes. Amen. Eric, we're going to say goodbye to you, and we'll catch up again here down the road when we can see how many players the Vikings have actually traded.
All right. Take care, fellas.
See you, man.
All right. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Also worth noting before we say goodbye on this episode, Danielle Hunter officially out for the season. Well, the Vikings aren't saying it, but Ian Rapoport saying, and I think Pelissero confirmed this too. Yeah.
Yes, both from reporting.
Vikings start.
So the Vikings are saying it behind the scenes, probably.
Yeah. And Tommy is as plugged in as anybody, you know, especially Vikings. He covered the Vikings for years with you. So Vikings star Danielle Hunter is having surgery to clean up a herniated disc, knocking him out for the rest of the season. Minnesota has a decision to make this offseason. Make Danielle Hunter the highest paid defender in football or trade him? Have we seen the last of him in a Vikings uniform? Eyeball emoji.
So did they trade Ngakoue in part because of the threat of that as well? Like, is this tied into the fact that there was no way that they could pay both? And Ngakoue was going to ask for a lot. And so they know that they're going to have to restructure or redo Daniil's contract.
I'm okay with restructuring Daniil's contract. You need that guy on this team he's healthy.
Well, I was going to say the most important to me thing is what is the surgery exactly and how does it go? That's a scary thing.
And it's
backs and necks are scary in football.
Yeah, you know, the question, does he look to hold out? I mean, is this a Sidney Rice situation where it's like, my hip hurts until you pay me?
Is he gonna not show up for training camp regardless of if Ngakoue was here or not?
Yeah.
That's how that reads.
Yeah, it's so right now, Danielle Hunter is under contract for a ton of money, but a ton of money relative to the rest of the Vikings roster, but not a ton of money relative to his value as a defensive player through 2023. So he signed a low-ball deal, good for the Vikings. But at some point, just to make him happy, if he's healthy, I think you pay him $20 million a year and you figure out the roster in other places. That's the type of position I am okay overpaying for a great Hall of Fame caliber player.
Yeah,
I'm not going to overpay for a linebacker. The Anthony Barr contract is garbage. I'm done overpaying for non-elite quarterbacks. It's not worth it.
But we also have to decide and see what the Cousins contract situation is going to be, because that becomes the most important thing. Like, if you're stuck with Kirk next year, that's going to change my philosophy a little bit about certain players, because now I don't see the... I mean, Kirk's been so bad that it's not like you'd say, you know what, it's fine. I have to see what their plan is with Kirk to see... Not if the window is going to open, because I don't necessarily think that's the case, but just what's the philosophy here right now?
Yeah. This is going to be kind of fun, actually.
Lean
into this, everybody. Hunter
being hurt and having surgery, don't get me wrong, that's bad news, but today has been good news. Subtracting Ngakoue is great, and Hunter not playing is just fine. I wish he didn't have a neck injury.
Get healthy.
Yep.
Get ready to go. And for anyone that's, you're so negative, you're rooting for this. No. We want to see the Vikings do something they haven't done ever, which is win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The road is currently closed. The current road they're going down is closed.
Roads are closed.
And Xavier Rhodes is awesome this year.
Yeah, the roads have been closed again.
So, by the way, I'm going to give you credit. Eric Eager did give you Judd, you hit the nail on the head with that point.
Yeah! Oh, wow, you're going to give me credit for that?
It's the good question, good point standings. I mean, he's telling you that's a good point.
Okay.
And so you have closed the gap. I now have 21 good questions or good points from guests on the season, and you have 20.
Oh,
so we are neck and neck here.
Oh, this is a great race.
It's going to be great. All right.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on this Reckless Speculation episode of Purple Daily. Please subscribe to our podcast, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, and or our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast.